Well, nagsimula na mga eskwelahan this week, and more schools will be opening this week. I believe UPLB will be opening this week. At isang bagay na pinagdiinan natin last time as we started this series of testimonials ay ang Kristiyano, sa halip na lumalamig siya sa pag-aaral at kaalaman, ay deliberately chose this song sa Sunday school natin. Sa second verse, sinabi roon, "Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green, something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Far from our conversion, darling, our search for knowledge of nature, it all the more sensitizes, lalong pinapatalas yung ating pagkasensitibo sa paligid natin. Mas gusto nating malaman, dahilan sa binigyan tayo ng pagkakakilala na ang mga ito ay likha ng Diyos, mas nagkakaroon tayo ng commitment na alamin ang ayon sa itinaguyod, ipinagkainilikha ng Diyos dito sa ating nilikha. So yan ang ating tiningnan last week from a theological standpoint. Education is consistent with our concept of biblical truth, consistent with our doctrine of man. At tiningnan natin yung usapin ng social ethics. Well, this morning, we are looking on the other side, the side which isa sa mga usapin ngayon ay paano tayo makapagpapanatili ng kalidad ng ating edukasyon. How do we maintain the quality of education? I think it is lamented almost universally na pababa ang kalidad ng edukasyon sa maraming institusyon. So this is a problem that we do well to address. What does it take to maintain quality education in an institution? At ito ay nasa panig ng school administration. And how fortunate we are that we are going to listen this morning to someone who is not just in the administration but on top of that administration sa UPLB. So, huwag kayong magmadali na para kayo may hinahabol sa inyong bahay. We have enough time, and so we are going to listen this morning to CRVOC, Chancellor Rex Victor Cruz.
Maraming salamat, Pastor. Pag ako magsasalita dito, iba pag ako magsasalita sa UPLB. Mas kinakabahan ako dito. Okay. ang objectives ko for this very short presentation is one, for our students to understand better how it is to run a university, and why is it important, you know, for university to operate in such a level of quality, you know, so that the students will better appreciate the special or the golden opportunity that they are blessed with, you know, when they go to higher education, you know. And also for our, you know, for our brethren, you know, for you to better understand also and appreciate the work that we are doing now, you know, together with Brother Ike, you know, Tolentino, you know, Junior, and so that you can continue to uphold us in your prayer, you know, considering the tough job that we have right now. So let me begin with the importance of higher education. No? I guess hindi ko narinig yung lecture ni Pastor last week, but the importance of higher education, you know, takes its root in its role in economic development. No? Needless to say, I'm referring to also social development. No? And economic development depends on educated and skilled workforce and in technologies. No? Ito yung two major products that the university produces, no, in its course of operation. Skilled workforce and technologies. So ito yung aming produkto na pinoproduce sa university. No? Yung, of course, yung ating mga workforce that refers to our students. Yung pumapasok sa atin, silang ating raw materials. And the end product is supposed to be skilled workforce. that will man every industry, that will man every public offices, no, and so on, no, and non-government organizations, okay, and technologies that we use for many different purposes, no? Technologies, hardware, softwares, you know, and etc. And the primary functions of universities, I'm interchanging higher education with universities here, but universities are classified as higher education institutions. But I'm shifting now to universities because that is more familiar to our students. The primary functions of most universities are threefold: teaching, research, and extension. Teaching is, you know, what the teachers do in classrooms. And research, these are the scientific investigations, inquiries being conducted by faculty members as well as research staff. And of course, yung extension, these are also done by many faculty members, many teachers, but these are also done by many researchers, and these are also done by extension workers, no? Yung pure extension workers. These are the people who are bridging the gap between what has been produced by science in terms of technology and information and the end users, no? Pwedeng industry, pwedeng local communities, pwedeng government, no? Who use these end products, no, of research and development work. The primary mandates of a school administrator, no, I'm shifting now to the administrator, no? Dalawa yan eh. As one, as the leader, no, for governance, and then second, as academic leader. Okay, so itong dalawang ito, these are not necessarily compatible and complementary, no? Sometimes you can be a very good administrator, no, but you are a lousy academic leader. But in higher institutions, no, higher education institutions like state universities, usually binibigyan ng much weight yung academic leadership, your capacity to lead academically, because that is what is expected of you, no, to provide leadership in academic programs. But then again, ang hirap pag wala kang administrative skills, you know, hindi rin magiging effective yung iyong role as academic leaders. But sometimes these two functions are in conflict or competing with each other, no? Sometimes naubos yung oras mo sa administrative, sa governance side, no? And you lose track of your function as academic leaders. In some institutions, pinaghihiwalayan somehow, no? Kumukuha sila talaga ng presidente. Okay? Meron silang presidente who is really just a manager. Okay? And then pagdating sa academic leadership, then they leave it up to the deans, no, and directors of institutes. Sa US, many universities are set up like that. Ang presidente nila hindi yan academic leader. Manager yan, no, in the sense of the yung mga CEO, no. Chief executive officers talaga yung mga, hindi sila academic leaders. Wala silang parte sa paghubog ng academic programs ng mga universities. But dito sa Pilipinas, ang president o ang chancellor, iisa yung, dalawa yung ginagampanin nila, governance and academic leadership. Kaya napakahirap, no? Eh tayo, trained naman tayo, karamihan ng mga chancellors, mga presidente ng state universities, trained academicians yung mga yan, mga researchers, no? And therefore, kulang short yan sa administrative skills. Now, core values of higher education, no? Honor, excellence, and academic freedom, no? So tatlo yung core values, no? Honor, excellence, and academic freedom. Ako lang ang nag-order ng ganito, no? But in some cases inuuna nila yung excellence, no? But I arrange it this way, no? Putting honor first, you know, above excellence, kasi we give premium, and even university, even UP, you know, give premium to honor, you know, on top of excellence. parang sinasabi natin, excellence cannot be, you know. I mean, there cannot be any excellence without honor. You know? Okay? But there can be honor even without excellence. Questionable, debatable. No. But we give more premium to honor, no? over excellence. And then yung academic freedom, yan yung laging ipinaglalaban ng mga estudyante, no? And sometimes this is also highly misunderstood, no? As being an absolute freedom to do anything they want. So ito yung nagiging, you know, dito nagkakaroon ng tension ng ang mga estudyante at mga administrators, no, when the issue of academic freedom is put to test, no. So pag merong konting ginawang administration without consultation and curtailing certain privileges and rights that the students believe they have, you know, nagkakaroon niya ng gulo without really understanding, you know, without really understanding hanggang saan ba yung extent ng sinasabing academic freedom. In fact, ang academic freedom limits on, you know, as the term implies, nasa academic lang yan, no? So pagdating na sa ibang issues sa university, like observing yung rules and regulations that the university enforces, you know, the student cannot do anything about that, no? Wala silang academic freedom that they can talk about, no? But yung academic freedom is only limited to as far as yung acquiring yung knowledge, no, and acquiring the skills that they are supposed to possess, no, upon graduation. Challenges to universities. Dalawa lang yan, no? Infinite expectations and finite means, no? Lahat ng university sa Philippines ganyan ang predicament, no? We have infinite expectations but very limited resources. Okay? Ag-UP, maganda-ganda pang itsura niyan, eh. Pero pagka bumaba ka na sa mga other state universities and colleges sa probinsya, iba't ibang regions, then you see a lot worse, no? State universities and colleges with so much to do but with so little budget, no? to speak of. Okay? Infinite expectations, you know, to produce more leaders. Okay? We need to produce more leaders. Ang UP produced the most number of presidents, most number of chief justices, most number of senators, most number of congressmen. No? And that is continuously expected of UP. No? Of course, with this, no, we are always asked. And of course, yung UP president previously also ask this question, no? If UP is the best university and if we claim to produce most of our leaders, why are we still in such a mess? So yun yung challenge to us, eh, no? And yun yung puzzle, no? We are expected to produce more competent professionals, no? And to create new knowledge and technologies and to sustain our global competitiveness. No? So, lalo na sa UP, no, we cannot just be the top university in the Philippines, but we have to be competitive globally. No? And ang kahalagahan nun is, you know, ang kahalagahan nun is that a lot of prestige, no, and honor down, no, should be at, you know, in a national university such as UP, no? And ang dapat ang scope ng ating influence is not only within the national boundary but beyond the national boundary, influencing regional as well as global development. So we have to sustain global competitiveness. But then, you know, siguro tanongin nyo, how can we do that? No? Tanong din namin yan. How can we do that when our budget, you know, is 90% for salaries of our personnel, faculty, researchers, administrative support staff. 10% for operation. Ang mga departments, yung isang yun yung pinakamababang unit ng ano ng university, no. Usually ang budget niyan mga 6,000 to 8,000 per quarter. Per quarter, no, to operate. Okay? So that's the real challenge, you know, how can you operate with that much money? No, po konting-konti lang talaga 'yan. Of course, there are other sources, no, and that is now where the skills and ability of faculty and administrators come in, no, to generate or to access more funds from other non-government sources. So very finite yung ating resources. UPLB is getting only about mga 1.2 billion pesos per year. 1.2 billion pesos per year. No? So, kukunti yan. And from other sources, nakakakuha tayo ng mga between 500,000 to 800,000. So, sabihin mo na mga 2 billion. 2 billion pesos per year ang budget ng UPLB. But that is not, you know, that is not even enough. Okay? Now, but if you divide that, no? If you divide that by the number of students, 12,000, no? Ang budget that we spend for each student then, each year, is about 166,000 pesos. Ang binabayad lang ng isang estudyante na full ang payment, no, yung walang subsidy ang gobyerno, ay mga nasa 20,000-25,000 pesos per semester, 50,000 per year. So, you see how much subsidy the government is providing to each and every student. So, pag ikaw ay UP student, realize that the government is spending for you more than 100,000 pesos per year for your education. No? Kaya pag pumunta ka sa private school, De La Salle, Ateneo, no, you're expected what? You're expected mga 50,000 per trimester, no, or 75,000 per semester, no, and which is exactly what we are spending for, what we are spending for each of our students. No? So yun ang, but that is not even enough, no? Sinasabi natin, hindi kulang pa rin nga eh, no? And if we want more or higher quality students, then we need more money. And that's what we are trying to ask the government to provide us, more funding. Now, challenges, no? We have multiple goals and values that compete for priority, no? Multiple goals eh, dami eh, no? Dami naming priority. Meron tension dyan between teaching and research. But research is, you know, yung research minsan tinitingnan nila parang secondary lang yan, no? But when you look at, you know, when you look at the global picture, no, a lot of developed countries are putting more money for research, eh, no? They put more money for research because research is what generates new technologies, what generates new information. And this is what sells in the market. No? You know the reason why Japan is now falling behind in their economic competition between China and the US, no? It's because of the failure of Japan to continue to develop new technologies. No? Pagkatapos ng Kodak, pagkatapos ng Toyota, pagkatapos ng mga ano, nawala na sa picture ang Japan, no? Pagkatapos ng electronics, no? Tumigil na sila, naiwanan sila ng US in developing alimaw mga information technologies, no? So they recognize this, kaya ang Japan ngayon is reinvesting in research and development, no? China has put in a lot of money for research and development. So mahalagang research. But in a university where we are expected, no, where teachers, kasi mga teacher, high caliber ano yan eh, no? mga academicians yan, they're expected to be scientists, and rightly so, no? Kasi kapag ikaw ay scientist and teacher at the same time, no, year in and year out, you are able to renew yung materials and the knowledge that you are imparting to students. Pag hindi ka nagre-research, parehong libro yung ginagamit mo year in, year out, parehong materials yung ginagamit mo year in, year out, no? Akala ko noon eh, napakagaling nung ganong professor eh, no? Because I have mga old professors before, no? Hanga ako kasi yung kanilang lecture, talagang sulat kamay, wala pa namang ano noon, no? Wala pang computer noon, talagang sulat kamay, gaganda ng sulat. Sabi ko, wow, galing naman ng notes nila. Pero napansin ko, 10 taon na, yung pa rin ang binabasa nila. No? Minsan, dilaw na yung papel, yung pa rin ang ginagamit na notes. Eh, hindi yun ang gusto natin sa mga, hindi yun ang gusto natin sa mga professors natin. Gusto natin sa mga professors natin yung na-update nila yung knowledge nila. No? And that will come only through research. Kaya nga, hindi pwedeng paghiwalayin ang research sa teaching. No? Kasi sa research nang gagaling yung bagong itinuturo ng mga professors. No? But there is always tension kasi nag-aagawan sa budget yan eh, nag-aagawan sa time. Sa UP, ang mga professors yan, dito sa UPLB, ang average teaching load namin 14 units. No? 14 units. Pero sa ibang state universities and colleges, nagdi-disagree si Dan Lord kasi sila, sa engineering, ang teaching load ng mga yan ay nasa 20 plus. No? So, but in other state universities and colleges, alam niyo, mga teaching load nila mas mataas pa sa unit load ng mga estudyante. No? And how can you expect them to do research kung talagang kuba na sila sa pagtuturo? No? But that is very important. No? That is very important. And yung maintaining local relevance versus global competitiveness. No? Minsan nga, parang ano yan, bakit pa tayo mag-worry about being global competitive, no? Wherein, hindi pa nga natin nagagampanan yung ating local responsibilities, no? But again, as I said, ang hirap maging, ano, ang hirap maging premium university, no? Premium university pagka ikaw hindi magkukupit globally, no? Okay? Kasi kinakailangan yung pagpasok ng tao, pagpasok ng new ideas, no? From other countries and other universities abroad, kinakailangan tuloy-tuloy din eh. But people will not come in kapag ikaw ay walang reputation. Well, nobody will partner with you kapag ikaw ay hindi, you know, wala kang strength. Okay? So, kinakailangan, you have to maintain certain level of competence and certain level of expertise that is recognized globally and regionally so that they will come in at the same time. No? Academic freedom versus character building. A lot of the students kasi just, you know, continue to insist on, again, as I said, binanggit ko na to kanina, on their academic freedom. No? And I do believe that a lot of what the student must learn, no, and must recognize is that the university has a business in character building. No? But sometimes, pag nag-i-insist sila ng too much academic freedom without due regard for protocols, without due regard for regulations, you know, that must be enforced, then nagkakaroon ng pag-aaway ang estudyante at administrators. Okay, we are happy at the present setup because the students are talking to us, no, and I think they respect us a lot, no, for respecting their opinions and their needs at the same time, no. So this is a continuing challenge, no, to us how to maintain that relationship, no, with our students, no, making them feel that they have the freedom, but at the same time, you know, that they do not go beyond, you know, what the regulations of the university is. Okay. Oops. Okay. Multiple risks and restraints. No, as I said, nabanggit ko na yan. Yung limited na yung budget. Andiyan pa yung financial and audit system, no? Ang bigat yan. Para siguro sa mga estudyante, hindi nyo maintindihan yan, no? Pag may pera ka na, hindi ibig sabihin, magagamit mo na yan. No, merong procedures, no? Merong financial and auditing procedures that you have to follow. Bago ka makabili, may bidding, may, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, maraming pagdadaanan yan. Sometimes, 6 na buwan na, 1 taon na, hindi mo pa nabibili yung kailangan mong gamit. No? So, we have to contend with this. We have to be very creative, no, to bypass itong mga ganitong klase ng limitations. Of course, yung limited operational and maintenance budget is a problem. Sabi ko na yan, no? 6 to 8,000 per department. Mauubos yan, papel lang, ubos na yan. Eh. O, mabuti ngayon, wala nang masyadong papel na ginagamit. No? Restrictive promotion system, yan, isa pa yan. No? This discourages a lot of faculties, a lot of research, no? Kasi hindi sila ma-promote as they believe they should be. And we believe that is true. No, kaya lang, wala naman pera talaga to promote regularly. Hindi katulad sa US, no? Sa US, it depends on you kung kailan ka mapopromote, no? Pag na-reach mo na yung milestone na yon, you apply for promotion, you get it. Pagka nakuha mo yung ano, yung milestone na yon, no? Yung accomplishments. Dito sa atin, ang dami mo ng accomplishments, hindi ka ma-promote kasi wala naman pera, walang tawag, walang call for promotion, maghihintay ka ng call for promotion. So, and nakaka-discourage yan sa mga magagaling na mga faculty and other staff, no? Kalimihan dyan, siyempre, lumilipat, tumalis pag merong ibang puntahan. And then, towards politics. No? Yung politics na yan, given na daw yan, eh. No? So, we have to contend with that, no? We have to contend with political pressures from many different people. Not only politicians themselves, but yung mga tao na meron daw silang kakilalang, ano, mga politicians. And Ike, you know, is very exposed to that do sa kanyang trabaho. So, alright. Mukhang, and then multiple constituencies. We have to deal with students. We have to deal with faculty members, researchers, and extension workers, administrative personnel. Iba-iba ang needs itong mga ito. Iba-iba ang kanilang mga trabaho. No, but we have to be able to manage, you know, all of them. And keep them motivated, no, to do their different functions. So, yung mga estudyante kasi minsan napifeel nila na napapabayaan sila, no, but realize that at the administration level, you know, we have to manage even the teachers, you know, even the janitors and so on and so forth, you know. We have to deal with all of them. And we have about 3,000, you know, we have about 3,000 faculty and administrative staff, you know, all in all. So 12,000 students, so we are managing mga 15,000 people, you know, every time. Multiple interpretations of scope, importance, and urgency of activities. Ito naman kahit sa ang office, meron ganyan, kahit sa ang institutions. Some are delinquently slow, some are super fast without regard for protocol. So lahat ito, problema mo lahat yan, eh, no? Merong talagang mga mababagal, no? And then merong napakabilis naman, and you know, they put you into trouble by getting ahead of you. Lalong-lalo na from my position, ano? Marami na nagko-commit na doon sa baba, hindi ko alam nagko-commit na sila pagdating sa taas. Makikita naman hindi pwede yan, pero kinumit na nila ako. Problema ko 'yon, ako nagmumukhang kontrabida, no? So that is a problem for administrators, no? Kapag kayong mga lower administrators at the lower level, hindi alam yung protocol or just don't have a, you know, regard for these protocols. Ito yung key task kasi ng administrators, eh, no? To one, yung focus, giving focus, alignment, no, to common vision. How do you rally your people to common vision? Even the students, no? So, yan pa rin ang ginagawa namin hanggang ngayon, no? We have may mga workshops kami for administrators, may workshop kami for junior faculty members, may mga workshops kami for susunod dyan yung mga administrative support staff and so on, you know, just to be able to realign them to the vision of the university. Motivation, providing incentive, no? Providing incentive and motivation to stay focused, kailangan mo yan, no? So, marami yan. It comes in terms of yung mga housing privileges, no, etc. And then building connection, building linkages and partnerships in and out, no. This is a big task of the university kasi, as I said, no, kulang yung government support, so we need to have support from other institutions, agencies, no. So we have to really go around, no, and look for partners. Hindi pwedeng nakaasa na lang sa gobyerno. And then promoting understanding and cooperation, no, among the different units. This is important because we want to We want to build synergy, no, among the different programs. We have what? We have 11 colleges, no, including schools. Okay, 9 colleges and 2 schools. So iba-ibang concerns sa mga yan. But we want to maintain, we want to make sure that these different units have synergy. You know, not only in terms of operation, but also in terms of programs. Kasi ang gusto nating i-develop ngayon sa universities are integration, no? Integration of mandates, integration of program to promote greater efficiency and greater impact. And then, of course, building the right spirit, shaping the day-to-day behavior of people. And this is, you know, this is the big challenge kasi marami ng mga habits and mga kinagisnay niya mga tao na yan. And many of them are, you know, kailangang ma-reform and ma-transform. No? Not to mention, pati sa mga estudyante. No? Okay? Okay. Now, ito yung ating key task namin, you know, to develop professionals who are, yung mga estudyante na to, no? Develop professionals who are understanding of their discipline and its interdisciplinary context. So, noong kasi in the past, no, specialization eh. Pero ngayon, it's integration. Nandiyan pa rin yung specialization, but we want specialists who are able to integrate themselves with other specialists. No. Noong kasi specialist lang siya and you know, they can work independently and that's what they do, no? Work independently. Pero ngayon gusto natin specialists who are able to interface with other specialists. And then capable of independent and collaborative inquiry. Big challenge ito sa ito lahat ito ano sa context natin ito, this is really big task kasi ang mga estudyante natin were not, you know, traditionally they are not trained to be independent thinker and you know, more so collaborative worker, no? So kailangan ma-develop ito sa mga estudyante natin. Rigorous in their analysis, critic, and reflection. Gusto natin mga more analytical. And I think a lot of yung paradigm natin in the past, kinakailangan baguhin na yung mga ganong klase ng thinking. No? Kasi in the past, para mabilis, pero mo, marami kang tinuturo, gusto mo, yung mga estudyante mo, mas madali kasi pagka yung binibigay mo na lahat sa estudyante, di ba? Bigay mo ng handout, bigay mo ng PowerPoint, andyan na lahat, no? Very convenient eh, no? And hopefully, papasa na sila kasi you have given them everything. But not necessarily, you know, not necessarily able to learn what they must. No? Capable of effective communication, information literate, digitally literate, and ethical practitioners. Ito yung mga skills and character that we want to be developed, no, among our students. And bilisan ko lang kasi naubusan na tayo ng oras. Okay. So, the big challenge in developing yung mga ganong klase ng professional is to make campus life a total transformational learning opportunity. Now, to develop culture of honor and excellence, to develop servant leadership, to develop spirit of nationalism, and to develop respect for law and authority. No? And I think this is really not just the task of a teacher inside the classroom, you know, but this is really a challenge for the university to become a truly total learning, no, a total learning facility inside and outside the classroom. Okay, outside the classroom, that is real life for the student. Inside the classroom, artificial yan eh, no? But outside the classroom, now within the campus, that is more close to the real life that the students will face. And this is where we are trying to be more consistent, no? To be more consistent to our students. Sa classroom kasi, given na yun, eh, no? Yung rules are imposed, no? I'd like to believe that, no? Are imposed strictly. Pero sa lamas, dapat ganun din, no? And this is our big challenge kasi, for me, UPLB, you know, has always been a dream in terms of a model, no, for enforcing rules and laws. No? Alam ba, traffic na lang, you know? Even mga professors hindi marunong bumasa ng traffic signs eh. No? So how can we train our students, you know, to really become good drivers, no? Di ba? Eh pag makita nila mga professor nila eh, hindi naman nag-stop sa stop sign. No, nakikipag-unahan pa. So, you know, this is really a big challenge and we are serious in this, no? So, I'm glad si Ike ang in charge sa mga ganyan kasi strict to si Ike, no? So, siya ang mapapaaway talaga dito, eh. No? Yung mga jeepney drivers, yan ay nilekturanan ni Ike, no? Kung paano talaga mag-behave inside na. But, we still have a long way to go, no? Concerning this. But, we're trying to make ang campus talaga total learning, ano, learning facility inside and outside the classroom. By improving performance of teachers and other university personnel, and improving our operational systems, enforcement of rules, no? So ito yung gusto nating gawin sa university. It's a big task, no? Like example natin dito, yung traffic system lang, no? So may ikot na rin tayo dito kasi ayaw natin na kung saan-saan lang napunta yung mga jeepney, no? And of course, yung cleanliness, no? Cleanliness drive natin and everything. So we are serious in all of this. Eh. Hopefully, we can really transform UPLB, no? Yung maintenance system. Maintenance system kasi ng UPLB before, magre-request ka pag may sira na, no? Sabi ko, that's too late, no? Too late and too expensive. Dapat, hindi pa sira yan, alam na natin kung ano yung mga preventive, no? Preventive measures. So meron kami ngayong gustong implement yung Care UP, no? Care UP system, and this is a proactive maintenance system, no? But it will take money, but we are serious in this, we will invest. So Care UP. And then ano pa? Yung papatay-patay ang ilaw, no? In the past hindi makalipat, dapat lumipat na noon pa sa Meralco, hindi makalipat sa Meralco. But now, no? And nakakatuwa kasi ang tumutulong pa natin sa atin dito, isa pang kapatid, no? Isang pastor, no, ng Pasig, siya ang tumutulong sa atin. So that we can transfer to Meralco and get better electrical systems, no? So para mawala na yung mga pa-brownout natin, nakakasira ng mga equipment ng ano eh, and then nakakadistorbo ng klase, no? So we're doing this enforcement of rules, as I said. And then, of course, ito yung naman yung challenge sa Christian administrator, no? From what I have experienced, hindi ito exhaustive, but ito lang yung tatlong gusto kong bigyan ng pansin ngayon, no? One is, now, how do we become compassionate but uncompromising at the same time? No? Forgiving but just. No? Ang dami namin cases na ganyan that we're handling right now, and you know we really need a lot of support in these prayers, and you know a lot of the cases hindi na ako paano i-deal hanggang ngayon, eh, no? But we'll have to be very careful kasi we want to be. Ayaw naman naming sabihin na, you know, napaka-stricto nito, wala naman natang puso itong mga ito, no? But at the same time, you know, we want to maintain that we are serious in enforcing rules and procedures at the same time, no? So I tell you, I consult a lot of yung mga lawyers namin, you know, on how to go around yung mga cases, you know, that are there, no? How do we go around this without really breaking the law, yung mga ganon ba? But at the same time, you know, how do we make sure that at the end of the day, no, yung ganyan, that yung last point ko dyan, yun ang importante sa lahat, no? Okay? But, you know, yan. And how do we impose equality without prejudice to anyone? No? Ito, makikita mo to kasi from many administrators, no? Makikita mo pa rin ito, and even if you are in UP, you know, marami pa rin ganyan, eh, no? Equal treatment to everyone. No? May nagbanggit na sa akin, no? May isa daw high-ranking official who is not, you know, who is really very strict sa mga laborers and mga ano, parang hindi tinatrato daw na hindi tao. No? So I'm very serious about it. I'm taking a look at it, no? Kasi ayoko nang ganun. Gusto kong maipakita na ang lahat ay equal sa ating administrator, no? Even yung mga laborers, even yung mga sinasabi nilang mga contractual workers, no? They are important part of the university, no? And they have important roles to play, and we want to communicate that to them, no? Kaya nga, ang susunod na workshop namin para doon sa mga mabababang, mga low-level, low-ranking, no? low-ranking employees ng university because we want them to feel that they are an important part of what we do. And then, of course, yung servant leadership. No? How do we do this? I think this is a big challenge for us kasi everywhere we go, alam naman natin yan, no? Sir, sinasaluduhan tayo everywhere. And si Ike din, sinasaluduhan yan everywhere. Eh. Pag sinasaluduhan nga ako, tumatawa yan sila Amy, sila Alisa, sila Brian. Eh, hindi naman ako makasaludo din. Kasi hindi, no? Parang, hindi ko alam kung paan saludo gagawin ko eh. No? Eh parang asiwan mo lang akong saluduhan. Pero nung nagpunta ako sa Alima, sa Nueva Vizcaya, no? Presidente nila doon, babae. No? Eh, naglalakad kami, no? Nakasalubong namin yung isang security guard. Talagang yung security guard, eh. Ganun talaga siya, no? Eh, sabi, nagulat ako kasi yung presidente yung babae, ganun siya. No? But, I mean, itong ganitong klase ng treatment, you know, this is, anong tawag dyan? No? This is something that can, sometimes, you know, we forget that we are but servants, no? And we want to really show people that we are, you know, that we are serving them, you know, and not them serving us, no? Ayaw ko talagang maramdaman ng mga tao na, you know, na andon ng mga administrator, you know, high and almighty, but you know, they are there to serve, no? To serve the needs of the people. And that's a big, you know, kasi ang culture natin really, you know, pag ikaw nandyan sa taas, you know, people come to you with, you know, as if you know, they owe you everything, and that, you know, they owe all the respect that they can give to you. No? So ayaw namin yun. And then last is yung the challenge is yung being approved by man, no, and approved by God. No, we cannot. I think we cannot please all. Eh, no, that's what we learned already. No, nung una kasi parang ano, ang worry namin is paano ang sasabihin ni ganyan, ang sasabihin ano. But I think we're just moving on now, and we understand that we cannot please everyone. But for as long as it's the right direction for the greater number of people, no, for the greater majority, then that is what will go. No? And of course, you know, at the end of the day, ang gusto namin dito as administrators is what, you know, mga Christian administrators, we want to be accountable to God for all of this. No? And this is really the big challenge, and this is where, you know, this is where we are coveting yung prayer support, no, of the brethren, no, to uphold us in your prayer, kasi we are exposed to many different temptations, no, mga risks, no, and all this, and then lahat yung hazards and moral hazards and etc, no, but we want to above all, no, we want to be workers approved by God. No? If man will not approve us, no, dapat we are approved by God. No? And that's a challenge. No? I think that's the biggest challenge of administrators. So with that, no, I think I have gone beyond my time. I hope that the students, you know, understand yung how difficult it is really to run a university. You know, it's not easy. No, I thought it was also. Ako din, no, kasi pasigaw-sigaw ako eh. Pag hindi ako makaregister eh, yeah, no. I have done my part during my student times. No, and kasi akala ko no, yun lang ginagawa ng administrator. Eh, no, but there are a lot of concerns. No. Sometimes, hindi na namin alam kung anong unahin talaga eh, no? I tell you, but ako, dami-dami na naming staff sa office namin, but sometimes, wala na akong mautusan kasi lahat sila may ginagawa na, no? And that is how difficult it is, no? But we try to manage and we try to maintain good testimony, no? As Christian administrators, no? And I guess it's tougher to be a Christian administrator, no? Because our latitude to compromise and to relax, no, yung standards natin is, we don't have the luxury of that, you know, as Christian leaders, no. Kaya sinabi ko, at the end of the day, we have to be accountable to God for all that we do, for all the decisions that we make, no. Marami yan. Okay. So students, ang tawag dyan? Huwag niyong sayangin yung opportunity. University is, especially in the Philippines, no, higher education really is, no, running a higher education institution is very tough, no, very difficult. And it's a great privilege, no, once you're given that ticket, no, to enter the university. Out of 100 students that enter elementary, 21 lang nakaka-graduate, no, in higher education institution. No. 14 sa degree granting mga college diplomas and 7 sa mga non-degree programs. No. So, 14 lang nakakapasa no, nagkakaroon ng degree from higher education institutions. And kayong mga estudyante, you are one of those no, highly privileged. Okay? Be a part of the 14%. Okay? Kukonti lang yan. It's a blessing. No? So, yan. Thank you very much.
Questions?
Kuya Rex, yung nung medyo bata pa ako sa university, so marami ka ng mga alam, marami ka natutunan. Tapos pag nakikipag-diskusyon ako sa mga magulang ko, parang minsan na, nasasaktan sila o yung pride nila. Tapos minsan gaganti sila sa akin by saying na yung presidente natin si Marcos, UP graduate yan, tinan mo kung anong nangyari sa kanya. So just going back dun sa minention mo kanina na magagaling ng mga leader galing sa UP, pero look at where we are now. So gusto ko nang i-connect dun sa sinasabi mong core values, yung honor and excellence among the three, at tapos yung sinabi mong gusto niyo i-improve ba yun? Yung ethical, maging ethical practitioners yung mga estudyante. I am thinking na doon nagkakaroon ng problema. Kasi kung academic lang, ay talaga namang mataas ang level ng mga graduates sa UP. Paano ito in-address ang mga nakaraan and how are you thinking of improving this? Dahil ikaw ay
Kristiyano. May isang program ang UP system and yung tinatawag na alternative learning ALS or alternative learning systems. So it's an ongoing activity. It's a small group looking at the integration of ethics, morality, nationalism, and leadership in curricular programs. You know, how to integrate them in different courses and so on and so forth. You know, so yun yung isang more proactive and direct in relation doon sa curriculum ng mga estudyante. But at the same time, ang gusto nga nating mangyari dito sa UP is one, at least yung magkaroon sila ng training really of observing, no? Observing rules and procedures inside the university, no? Respect for law, respect for rule, respect for authority, you know. We want to improve, you know, on that by making sure that yung ordinary na nakikita nila on the streets, you know, ay na-enforce natin. So, this will be an informal learning opportunity for them. No? And then, isa pa, which was presented to me, no, dito lang last week, may tanong sa akin, Sir, merong memorandum in the past, no? Ano yan? There is a memorandum in the past prohibiting disallowing the use of university facilities for religious activities. No? Or even yung classroom for prayers, no? Yung classroom, etc., etc. But yung sa akin, ang tanong nila, papayagan ba natin gamitin for mga activities, etc.? Pag sinabi nilang religious, kasama na yung mga Christian organizations operating inside, ano? So ang sabi ko lang doon is i-review niyo yan kasi that was the pronouncement of the previous president, no, si President Dimenso pa kasi yung impose noong anong yon, yung memorandum na yon, no. Ah, no prayer in classroom ba yon? Okay. Pero yung use pala ng facilities kay David pala yon, kay Chancellor David, no. But then sabi ko is dito sa atin, no, they are legitimate. Sabi ko, these are legitimate, no, legitimate organizations, no, they can use it for whatever purposes, you know, that is within the yung activities, no, regular activities ng mga organizations na yon. So
Chancy, may magtatanong po kay itong instructor ng UP Manila.
Okay.
Tito Rex, nabanggit niyo po kasi kanina yung tension between teaching and research. Well, nabanggit niyo na po kasi yung importance ng research. So,
right.
Pero gusto ko lang po kasi sanang ma-bring up yung parang other side nun. Na kasi being an excellent scientist does not make you a competent teacher. Kasi right. Tas parang ang madalas ko po kasi nakikita doon na problem sa UP Manila, yung mga teachers po doon, outstanding sa research, tas magaling mag-research. Pero yung teaching, more or less, nagiging sideline lang. So yun po yung nabanggit nyo na parang yung PowerPoint, yung handouts, yung homework, nagiging substitute for teaching. Nang ganun. So, and ang problem kasi noon, very damaging siya sa mga students kasi kapag ka, incompetent yung teacher, nakakawalang gana sa mga estudyante na mag-aral. So parang ang problem pa doon, parang there is no actual incentive to improve on teaching kasi the requirement for tenure is MS and publication. So ang requirement for tenure is research lang talaga, not the teaching side. So gusto ko lang po sana i-ask kung kunwari, ano pong nagagawa po ng administration on addressing that point ng yung tension mismo, no, sa teaching.
Right. Actually meron namang existing mechanisms to correct that sana, no, but in the past hindi siya ginagamit yung student evaluation, no, student evaluation na yung set, no. Ano nga ba? Student evaluation anenti? Student basta student evaluation, no. Student evaluation. Usually yun ang feedback mechanism for administrators, no. Pag merong reklamo yung mga estudyante, makikita mo yun doon, eh, no, kahit naiisa yan, eh. Hindi dapat ignore yun ng administrator, no. But tama yun, it can work the other way around, no, because research can be an alibi for an alibi for poor teaching, no. But at the same time, ang sinabi ko nga, kung gagamitin talaga yung student evaluation as a mechanism to keep track of the quality of teachers, no, dapat mag-work yun, eh, no. Unfortunately, sa UP kasi napaka-accommodating natin, eh, kahit na binabagsak na sa evaluation ng mga teachers, no, pinababayaan pa rin magturo, no. Hindi ina-address ng mga administrators head-on. Culture natin, eh, wag, kawawa naman, no. Kawawa naman 'yan, no. So but sa atin we have ano that, no, we have actually kinausap na namin halimbawa yung mga English teachers namin kasi nababahala kami taas ng dropping rates ng English 1 at saka English 2 namin, no. Kinausap namin talaga yung mga English teachers, what is going on, no, pati yung mga mabababa ang student evaluation, no, and hopefully we have corrected that. So the mechanism is in place. It's just a matter of the administrator really, you know, using the mechanism if it to improve it.
Meron ba? Kuya Rex, nabanggit niyo po yung mga estudyante sa ngayon, nakikita na kinakailangan sila maturuan sa mga basic things like traffic rules, ganyan. Sa tingin niyo ba nagkulang ang kanilang primary or intermediate education? Kaya ngayon nagkukulang sila pagdating sa university kasi simple mga rules hindi sila makasunod. So do you think that the DepEd's new curriculum of 8-12 curriculum will help them better prepare for the university? Kung sa tingin nyo makakatulong, why and how so?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, yung K to 12, pero ang tingin ko kasi dito sa university talagang ano eh, walang enforcement ng law eh. Meron talagang breakdown sa enforcement eh, no? Parang hindi na pinapansin, parang ano na eh, accepted norm na yung, you know. Okay, minsan pa nga yung hindi dapat mag-stop siya pa yung, 'di ba? Yung may right of way siya pang titigil pa, upo na pa nag-stop. Talagang confused na yung tao eh, no? Confused na sana eh sa rules, no? Kaya ako nag-i-insist ako pag pinapaganyan ako sila yung dapat umiinit. No? Eh kasi sabi ko lalong nako-confuse yung ano eh, yung rule, no? Kapag kayong may right, hindi niya alam kung ano yung right niya, no? So yes, I think yung K to 12 has, you know, can help, no? But at the same time also palagi ko at the university, at least sa UPLB, no? We really need to, you know, to improve yung mga ganyang enforcement ng law.
So yeah. Can it also help academically for the student to prepare him or her for the university, yung K to 12?
Yes, I think so. I think so kasi kita naman natin yan sa ano eh, kita naman yan sa mga studies, no, doon sa mga pumasok yung mga new freshman. Marami na kasing studies to show na talagang inadequate yung preparation sila. Eh. And makikita mo rin yun eh, talagang marami yung first semester, first year, second year, ang baba ng performance eh. Yeah. Hopefully K to 12 can remedy that, no, and make and prepare them better.
Okay, si Jean.
Kuya Rex. Yung po, habang while you were sharing yung experiences niyan, your point of view as administrator, merong tatlong, there are three things running in my mind. Dalawang reflections and one is a question. Yung first, I'm very happy to hear yung point of view ng isang Christian administrator. The reason why I left UPLB is because of the former chancellor na ang layo-layo dun sa sinabi niya na challenges of two Christian administrators. Parang sa akin, opposite siya lahat niyan. That's the reason why I left the university. And then, on itong most recent trip ko sa Taiwan last week, in addition to a conference, I did a field work sa Taiwan. And there's a university there na host ko. Christian din yung president ng university. And nung nakikita ko yung ginagawa niyan, ito yung sinabi niyo. Tapos parang nung nagra-run si Kuya Rex for the nomination, parang worried ako kasi inisip ko na, oh, baka mawala na siya ng time for the church. Pero nakikita ko sa inyo at saka din dun sa president na yun, Christian president na yun, na you prioritize the spiritual matters of life over itong inyong profession as, and leadership calling. This is the first. And then the second, naging very grateful po ako for being with UPOU, not because I don't want UPLB, because academic freedom in UPOU is a freedom that a faculty enjoys, not the student enjoys. So nagugulat ako na bakit ang mga estudyante ngayon nagki-claim ng academic freedom. Kasi ang academic freedom means the freedom of the teacher to teach in a manner where the student will learn the lesson. So parang nagulat ako sa UPLB enjoying, students enjoying academic freedom. And then on the second thought also, wala bang kaming masyadong problema ng 6,000 per operations budget ng isang department, primarily because we're very small. So talagang parang hindi namin problem yun, and I really pity yung sa UPLB. One thing na I learned from the Christian president is yung build, operate, transfer, yung private-public partnership. Ang ginawa nila dun sa university is to build a 5-star hotel. And then, yung income dun sa 5-star hotel na yon, yun ang ginagamit nila for operations. I just don't know whether that will work here. And then thirdly po, you mentioned about students in UPLB failing in English. I have a student na faculty ng UPLB taking doctoral program in UPOU. She's teaching English. This person, I should not say the gender. This person is teaching English in UPLB. Estudyante ko siya sa 3 courses. Lagi siyang late mag-submit ng requirements. At lagi niyang sinasabi, because of the big classes. Sabi niya talagang hirap na hirap siya dun sa big classes. And this person is teaching English. I was thinking that possibly also, I know this is a contentious issue in UPLB, but possibly that may be a reason as well bakit po din siguro nagkakaproblema sa English. At saka talagang ako, I pity her. Kasi every time na tatanungin ko yung, lagi niyang sinasabi dahil dun sa big classes niya, talagang hirap siya na mag-fulfill ng requirements in our courses.
Right. That's true, no? Yung marami sa mga faculty natin, lalo na sa mga general education courses, overloaded talaga sila. That's why ang target ng target ng UP is to bring the faculty student faculty ratio to 1:10, no? 1:10. And also bring down the teaching average teaching teaching load credit, no? To 12, no? Maximum 6 units at least for teaching and 6 units for research. So yun yung balance that UPS is striving to achieve. And hopefully this will improve yung performance ng mga estudyante at, no? Yeah, yung big classes, yeah, yung large classes, it's under review right now, no? Hopefully we'll get the result by the end of the year. And to tell us ano ba yung mga courses na pwedeng sa large class, ano yung mga courses na hindi pwedeng sa large class. And English will be one of those courses where we will decide, no, whether they will be offered in large class mode or go back to small class.
Chancy, Pastor. Binanggit po ninyo yung unang value ay honor. And I remember one particular matter na may sinabi tungkol sa honor in the academe is tested in your citations, footnotes, and endnotes. Sinasabi natin sa mga estudyante, honor, walang kopyahan. But it is a rampant practice ngayon among researchers, ay plagiarism. So how does the university or does the administration have a policy that is zero tolerance on this issue of honor?
Very strict pastor ang policy ng university sa plagiarism. In fact, ang plagiarism is a cause for expulsion. So talaga expulsion both for students and for staff.
Okay, last questions or last thoughts? Micaiah. And then Esther. Micaiah, Esther, Carol.
Sinabi niyo po na isang priority ay to teach the students honor, the culture of honor and excellence, servant leadership, tsaka respect for law and authority. Now, since UP naman po ay secular university, anong ginagamit niyo po motivation sa kanila or reason for respecting the law and authority? Like, sa atin po, alam po natin, we know na we respect authority, we respect law, we try to keep ourselves honorable and we strive to be excellent dahil we are accountable to God. Pero sa ganun po set up, as a Christian, how do you motivate those under you and yung mga students to cherish these things? Seeing na hindi naman po lahat sa kanila ay hold the same beliefs as you.
Yung strict observation, no? Strict observation ng mga rules and procedures, no? Unfortunately, lahat sa akin bumabagsak yung mga request niyan. For instance, no? Yung mga rule on paying the tuition, halimbawa, no? On time, no? Pwede kang hindi magbayad pero kailangan mag-request ka ng permit o ng mag-execute ka ng promise or ako pipirma noon, no? So I really have to balance that kasi yung iba talaga habitual no? Habitual talaga na hindi nagbabayad, no? Request pa rin ng request ng promissory note. Now there are also those, you know, who are mga delinquent talaga, no? According to rules, sila yung mga dapat ay hindi na payagang magpatuloy sa university, no? And nahihili ako dito kay Pastor kasi si Pastor medyo walang problema sa pagtangging magpatuloy yung mga estudyante kapag nakita niya hindi na talaga totoo at hindi na kaya, no? Pero sa university talagang ang hirap niyan, no? Ang hirap, we have to stretch the rule, no, to a certain extent, no. Halimbawa, pag readmitted, pag for readmission, na isang readmission lang yan, dapat hindi na pwede. Ang second readmission mo, you'll have to appeal to the chancellor, no. Sa akin na lahat, papatak yung decision na yan, whether to readmit, you know, somebody who's applying for second readmission and third readmission, meron pang fourth readmission, no. So ngayon, we're setting the boundaries, eh, no? We're setting the boundaries. Nung una, last time namin nagsimula kami, no? Tinanggap namin yung, halimbawa, tinanggap namin yung mga third, hanggang third readmission. Meron pang fourth readmission, eh. Pero ngayon, yung second readmission pa lang, ibig sabihin, first time pa lang na nag-appeal sa akin, sinasabi ko na kagad, this is your last chance. This is your last chance. Sabi ko ganun, siguro narinig mo na, meron kaming inaproban for the fourth time. But this is your last chance. Sabi ko ganon. You cannot appeal to me anymore. Sabi ko, next time. Sabi ko ganon. Ibig sabihin lang yan, pag ikaw ay hindi mo lang kaya talaga, hindi, talagang hindi ka para sa UP. And you'll have to find your place, no, somewhere else. So, I mean, yung enforcement ng rule, no, is something that we expect our administrators, our teachers, no, to enforce even in class. No, marami tayo niyan, eh, 20% absences, no? Dapat drop ka na talaga, pero yung iba pinababayaan lang yan, eh, no? Parang ako nung pinababayaan ko rin lang, no? But dapat meron talagang strict implementation ng mga existing rules and procedures.
Okay, Esther, then last si Carol.
Hello. From the viewpoint of a student. Kasi nung, di ba, nung nanalo po kayo sa election, nung those were my last months bilang undergraduate, tapos nagtatanong-tanong ako sa mga tao, anong tingin nila dun sa bagong chancellor. Tapos, syempre, medyo may association ako dun sa tatlong student groups, yung mga pula, mga asul, at mga dilaw. Yan. Tapos, natutuwa ako kasi unlike dun sa previous administration, na alam nilang may bias beforehand, sinasabi nila na yung bago daw Chancy ay parang unbiased, yun, dun sa mga decisions. Tapos, ayun, natutuwa po ako na ganun. Tapos, lalo na dun sa yung issue dun sa dapat magiging bagong chairperson, USC chairperson, na ayun, yung pinag-uusapan, nakikita ko kasi sa mga forums, yung mga estudyante, pinag-uusapan nila ano daw yung decision, magiging decision ng chancellor. And maganda kasi nakikita ng mga estudyante yung legality ng decision, and at the same time, ayun, yung fairness. Ayun, kaya, yeah, nakakatuwa kasi dahil kilala ko yung chancellor and kilala ko kayo. Ayun, maganda na yun nga po, yung na-discuss nyo kanina yung accountability to God, na because of your accountability to God, nagre-reflect yun dun sa decisions na not necessarily about religion, kundi yung administrative, pati yung legal aspects. Ayun, thank you.
Now this will just be a comment kasi they've already asked what I wanted to ask. Kasi I've been hearing from a lot of people for several years that ang pinaka-corrupt sa government are UP, those who graduated from UP, and especially sa government agencies, talaga ang pinaka-corrupt daw ay UP graduates. So I was supposed to ask you what are the practical measures where you can address yung instilling good character and good ethics with among the students, and most especially I think even for the everyone working in the university, kasi napakahalaga din that we all know that the best teacher is example. That no matter what we teach, it's best to teach people by doing things. And I'm happy that siguro one of the things that, you, as you said, yung strictly implementing the consequences of disobeying rules and implementing these rules. Kasi we all know in our culture dito sa Philippines, they all give rules, but the problem is the implementation and the yung imposition of the consequences. That's why I guess napakahalaga na ma-train sa university ang mga estudyante and even the professors that when they really violate something, they'll face the consequence of that. Kasi somehow, like for a student, within the 4 years, we can develop that character of obedience. And I guess I also thank God kasi, Kuya Rex, that despite your busyness, you really give time to nurture yourself spiritually because that will really sustain you and keep you in path to implement things that will be in accordance to God's will. Though we do know that we really have to pray for you in that field.
Yeah, as I said, no, we have a committee, and I'm glad that ang nasa committee na yan, which is actually a UP system committee, is also a Christian. No, so I recommended her to be the chair of that committee. And I'm hoping that there will be a hindi ko alam eh, that's yung trabaho kasi nila, that will be very, very difficult, no, kasi alam na natin Kristiyano yan, may bias syempre yan, no, but at the same time there are a lot of people who will be watching kung paano natin i-handle itong integration ng ethics, morality, and so on sa spirituality sa mga curriculum natin, no. We know that some people will be watching us on this, no, and hopefully we can be very effective, in the integration of these issues. Kasi kailangan to mga ito.
Okay, maraming salamat po, Councilor. Yung sa sinabi ni Caro na corruption
begins at home and honed in the university. Kaya sa mga magulang pa rin ang unang-unang paghuhubog ng karakter. Ngunit nakarinig natin ang mga hamon sa isang higher education at humihingi sila ng panalangin. Nararapat lang na isama natin lagi sila sa ating panalangin. Magbukas po tayo sa panalangin. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kami sa mga nakita naming presentasyon ukol sa pamamahala at pangangasiwa ng universidad. Tulungan mo, Panginoon, na mapahalagahan namin ang mga ginagawa ng mga academic administrators and workers and staff so that we may truly understand what it takes to maintain a quality education. And in that light, pinapanalangin namin si Brother Rex sa kanyang pangunguna sa administrasyon ng UPLB. Maraming mga hamon, maraming mga bagay ang magpapabigat ng kanyang gawain, kasama rin ni Brother Ike sa kanyang pagtulong sa mga gawain ito. Ipinagkakatiwala namin sila sa iyo at nawa ang iyong kamay ang kanilang maging tulong sa pang-araw-araw nilang mga pangangasiwa, at tulungan mo sila na gawin ang mga bagay na ito na hinahanap ang iyong kalooban, ang iyong kaluguran sa lahat nilang gawain. There will be those times when there will be tension, there will be the temptation to compromise. We ask that you would give them that honor and integrity that go with good administration and good leadership, and at the same time to give them the grace to maintain that desired servant leadership that is modeled after the Lord Jesus Christ. So grant, Lord, that through their administration, they may let shine the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and even promote His kingdom in the place that you have called them to exercise their talents and abilities. We continue to pray to you for the students, that they may excel in their studies and excel with the real desire of thinking the thoughts of God after you have thought them. So grant that all this will lead to your praise and to your honor and to the greater motivation of the students, the academic workers, and leaders. We thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.